Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening to the Von Hessler Doctrine podcast. Remember, you can hear the show every weekday from 9 to noon right here on 95.5 WSB, Atlanta's news and talk.
Live from the heart of Atlanta, Georgia, and beyond, hour one of the Von Hessler Doctrine begins right now. I am your lovable, huggable, mid-morning chat host, Eric Von Hessler. The other voices you hear are the doctrinaires. Man of a thousand voices, Tim Andrews. Lady of 184.7 now characters, Autumn Fisher. The man behind the glass, Shaney B. And the handsomest producer in all of producery, Jared Yamamoto.
Hey, good morning, man.
Well, good morning to you. I know that you wanted to, National Whatever Day.
National Technology Day.
But you see that I brought in the big man, the big boss.
Oh, and I just stand aside now.
And you realized you didn't want to start some shenanigans.
No. I'd be serious.
Yeah, I want to start some shenanigans, make the host angry with you. On this Thursday morning,
keep things nice and serious.
Because I have two sides. I think you know this. I have two sides. One's a sweetheart, and one's a complete a-hole. Now, you don't want to wake that up.
Absolutely not. No.
Don't wake up the a-hole.
Do not continue on your journey. Do not wake up the a-hole. So I've brought Joe Biden's going to speak.
I am?
It was
yes, you are.
Scheduled for 9, so it's going to go down sometime during our show. I would get no later than noon. Biden will actually amble up there and speak.
Trump bombed Pearl Harbor.
Hold on now. I didn't know that it was going to be that landmark. You're going to be allegations we haven't heard before.
Single-handedly sank every ship we had in Pearl Harbor.
So we'll look for the, as soon as he gets on up there, we'll get to him. This is going to be one of those just full-on phony baloney days. In the news and across the, in all the coverage. And my favorite thing is when you mix solemn with the phony baloney. Man, solemn phony baloney to me is just the greatest sandwich you could possibly make with phony baloney. Because you've got the whole phony baloney, which means what it says, phony baloney. All made up nonsense theater. But when you add solemn, all right, everybody, get together and channel your inner Walter Cronkite, even though anyone under 45 has no idea who that is. This is phony baloney, but let's be solemn about it. All I'm going to say about January 6th is, as an American, when that happened, I was personally offended. At this point, a year later, I am equally personally offended by how it's being used as a political thing. Here's something you may or may not know. The feds are putting these people in jail. The Viking, in jail. The guy with the QAnon flag, if not in jail, close to going to jail. There's lots of people going to jail the good old-fashioned way. But if you left it with the good old-fashioned way, people who want power could not do what they want to get more power. So that's what I'm going to say today. This is what you need to know. Even solemn exploitation is still 100% exploitation. I'm your host. This is a current event show. It's January 6th. That's my opinion. Now we move on. I've brought in the unbelievably good-looking and powerful Drew Anderson.
I called him the big boss on our chat here on our YouTube feed.
Thank you for that.
This is the man who tells me, if you say that one more time, I will go in there. I will pull you off the air mid-sentence, and I I'm good-looking enough and powerful enough to get it done, don't you?
Oh, I thought that was Chris Camp.
Well, Chris Camp is the wise and good-looking and powerful. One day.
He's a sage.
Are you a sage? Is that what you are?
That's right. You could depend on it.
Do we say depend on it anymore? Did we drop
still
that?
Say it.
Okay.
I miss it.
You can depend on me.
Is it true, Drew, that we have to say it like once a week so if somebody else doesn't steal it from
Absolutely.
Us?
Absolutely. In fact, why don't you just go ahead and say it three or four times here?
Depend on it. So,
boom.
Go ahead.
Love it.
Sorry, you're in trouble. We don't even have any competitors. Who the hell wants to use it? I don't know, but we've said it, and it's ours. Keep your damn grimy hands off it. So, Drew Anderson, I brought you in here because
yes, sir.
I have a request.
Okay.
And that's not really a request. I guess I'm asking permission. I think I know what the answer might be, but I don't know. I don't keep up with radio law like good-looking, powerful people like you do. Things may have changed. I don't know.
Uh-oh, I better get the attorneys on speed dial.
We're a current event show on a news and information station, right?
Absolutely.
So people expect me to be able to let them know how I feel. We deconstruct the 24-hour news cycle. And so what I have to ask you, am I allowed to swear on the air yet? Has there been any change in legal law? Because I feel going forward to deconstruct the news and not be and be taken seriously.
Well,
I need to swear.
I think that when I last spoke with your radio guru, Clive.
Yes, Clive. My radio guru slash
consultant.
He's he's looking especially bronzed this morning.
He said that you needed to just be real.
Yeah.
Just be real. So is that where this is coming from?
Well, what I'm saying is this. This is what I found out as a person who analyzes the world on radio airwaves. There is so much BS coming from all sides. Left, right, center. There's no center, but you know what I mean. All sides. Politicians, media, corporations, everything from everywhere all the time. It's all BS all the time.
Sure.
And it's gotten to the point that I feel like I'm not being honest with my audience if I keep using those letters and saying BS. I feel like in order to be taken seriously and let my audience understand exactly what's going on from my point of view, I have to not be handcuffed to the letters BS. I should be able to say the entire word. Now, do I have the ability to or not?
I mean, I think he could say that you have the ability.
You have the ability. Should you use it on the radio?
Yeah.
I would say use discretion.
Okay, so I guess I maybe extend the question. Do I have the ability to say it, and will my card for entry into the building still work the
Probably
next day?
Probably not.
Okay, that answers.
Why don't you say, like, Bull Shane?
Oh, Bull Shane! Bull Shaney B. That's what it is.
Bull Shane.
It's Bull Shane. That's exactly what it is. You know what?
Is that a Cajun word?
You know what? Bull Shane.
Now.
Yeah, we'll give you a little Bull Shane.
Yeah.
You know what? I thought that you rose to the top for your great good looks, but obviously with that idea.
He's a problem solver.
This guy's an intelligent dude. He's a problem solver. That's why he rose to the top of the problem-solving corporate world. How do you like the corporate world?
I love it.
I'm finding it to be a complete and total drag.
Stop us when this gets weird.
This show is going to do nothing in 2022 but get weirder and weirder.
I love
it. All right. Well, you know what you did? You told me I couldn't do something, but you solved a problem. So from now on, BS is now known on this show as just a bunch of bullshame.
I love it.
So thank you very much.
Yes.
And,
problem solved.
You may have the power to yank me off the air, but right now, I'm returning the favor. Get the hell out of here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Drew Anderson. Very good guy, this Drew Anderson.
Great.
He really is. He's a really good guy. He is a better person than his face is good looking. I would say that.
Wow.
And you know,
that's very nice.
And what I'm saying is, he's got a very good looking face, but his spirit is even sexier.
Sexy spirit.
You got a sexy spirit, Drew.
He's
don't
running away.
Say that you
he's
don't.
Running away.
You got a sexy spirit. It's not creepy. It's religious.
Of course.
It's not creepy. It's spiritual. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. I don't need any more bullshane from any of you.
It scares me when you say it.
It should scare people. When they tune into this show, from now on, I want people to be at the edge of their seats. I don't want them on pins and or needles. I want them on pins and needles.
Wow.
At all times. Because I'm done with the bull shame of the...
I see, look, I almost fell for it.
Where to go? I would say that worked. Good morning to everyone. Yes, Kamala is speaking now. Mm. She doesn't have a mask.
Joe Biden. Too important to muffle with me.
Joe Biden is 6 feet away. He is wearing a mask. I wonder what it's like to be that good, that enlightened, that wonderful, that smart. I'll never know.
There's a lot of reason to be hopeful in 2020.
Yes, said that.
I'm going to win the election.
3 or 4 days ago.
Right.
So hopefully.
What?
And if it bothers you that we make jokes on this date, this ain't the show for you. But here's the good news. All of our competitors are free. No door charge.
Worse.
Huh? What you're going to see today is 99% bullshame, 1% truth, and again, this is coming from a host who was personally offended as an American a year ago today. But I am almost as personally offended as an American by the political exploitation. You know, their new idea is they want to hold hearings during prime time over this in March and April. This is a great thing the Democrats are doing at the federal level. Hey, I know we suck, but do you remember them? Great campaign.
There's nothing that seems scripted. Everything's just off the cuff.
The Von Hessler Doctrine.
95.5 WSB, Atlanta's News and Talk.
Oh, my goodness. Did we charge the Democrat Party for that 30-minute campaign advert?
I hope
Where's the rebuttal?
Did anybody listen to it? I didn't listen to a word.
Wow.
Tim, did you listen to it?
I tried to, but it was too much of a commercial.
Well, for me, it's like, total fair and balanced here. I don't give a damn what Biden says. I also don't care what Trump says.
Right.
I don't care what Marjorie Taylor Greene says. I don't care what AOC says. It's all BS. It's all bullshane.
Yeah.
It's all bullshane to me. And I have no interest. I was watching my lead researcher and producer of this fine show and decided to put up MSNBC to watch it on. And my goodness, after he walked away, the 8 window pane panel that came on.
Like a bad,
I was like,
bad Zoom call.
All right, that guy's not happy. I liked watching it with the sound down. Every once in a while, if you watch, there was one point, and some of this may be me, a lot of gummies this week. When I'm not here at work, it may be me. At one point, I was just watching him, and it was just fun for me to pretend that he was going, meow, 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 meow. He looks a little bit like, who's that guy that's the big ventriloquist now? He sells out State Farm Arena. He's got
Jeff something?
Dunham?
Dunham?
Dunham, is that
Jeff
his name?
Dunham.
I've never seen his stuff. I haven't seen it. I'm not any more familiar with his stuff. Oh, Jared please. I'm not any more familiar with his act than whatever Joe Biden just said here. But I've seen enough commercials and stuff that he's got an old grumpy man face.
Looks just like Biden.
There's times when I was watching the Biden thing sound down where he gets that just momentarily, like flashes of anger, like, meow.
Walter the
meow,
puppet.
Meow.
Walter the puppet. That's what it's called.
So my guess is that if you're to believe the baloney, Biden, that was a healing speech, where he at one point it said at the bottom he says Trump just can't accept the fact that he lost.
Yes.
To which even though I wasn't listening, I saw that and thought, well, you can't accept the fact that you won. They're giving a speech. It's a year later. You're still going after the guy that you beat a year
There's
ago.
There's a lot of reason to be hopeful in 2020.
Right. Yeah, he said that 3 days ago.
One of them is that we'll skip an entire year.
Is that your new plan to fight the pandemic. So we're just going to skip you.
Which means it's 2020 part two. Come on, man.
Again, because people don't know how to listen. I was offended personally a year ago. What happened at the Capitol? That was a year ago. Personally offended as an American at what happened at the Capitol. Today, 1 year later, personally offended at the obvious exploitation of that. Hey, we're going to unify the country by continually opening up this wound. Hey, win a pair of tickets. Let's give away some tickets.
Yeah.
Let's do something positive, huh? And when we come back, I'm done with all this. You guys enjoy your solemn BS day. Phony baloney nonsense.
Got Hannity a three for that.
Yeah, we're going to move on. Win a pair of tickets to see the Eagles Hotel California tour on March 4th at State Farm Arena. Be caller number 10 to 404-872-0750. Tickets are on sale right now at Ticketmaster.com.
Bonhoeffer Doctrine. Love it. Listen to it every day. Best show on the radio.
Weekdays 9 till noon on 95.5 WSB.
Congratulations to James Reagan of Cleveland, Ohio?
Cleveland, Georgia. That's up in the mountains.
That makes sense. Cleveland, Georgia. Won a pair of tickets to see the Eagles Hotel California Tour. That's on March 4th at State Farm Arena. If you didn't win, guess what? Tickets are on sale right now. Ticketmaster.com. So, just a little more in analyzing this this Biden speech that I watched with the sound down. So,
meow.
Yeah, admittedly limited on what I can deconstruct here. Mostly visual. So, Kamala spoke first. We didn't carry it, which when I found out that we weren't carrying Kamala, what did I say to our people? What are you, just going to throw away ratings gold? So, she spoke. But when they first walked out together, and they walk out of that hallway into the rotunda, and they're wearing masks. You see, we don't have curious reporters anymore. But if I was a reporter, how many people believe that in the hallway, in the room, off the hallway before they came out, how many people believe they both had their mask on before they entered the hallway, went into the rotunda? That's why I can't be a proper reporter. I'm actually curious about the world. Hour two, or something like it, of the Von Hessler Doctrine begins right now.
We're going to win.
Yeah. Some people listen to this show and I'll say something and their hearts get lifted, and then the next thing I say, they go, oh. I think that happened before. And I said, I didn't listen to Biden because I don't care what Biden has to say. That's where a lot of people go, oh. And then I followed it with, I don't care what Trump has to say.
Oh.
Or maybe some people went, ah. And then I said, I don't care what AOC has to say.
Well, what are you, Eric? What are you?
Ted Cruz.
I don't care. I don't care what the media has to say. I don't care what pundits have to say. Here's a couple for you. I don't care what Patton Oswalt has to say about the year anniversary. I also don't care what Dave Chappelle has to say about it. I simply don't care what the chattering class has to say about anything, because from my point of view, this is just my opinion. It doesn't have to be yours. I've had an epiphany that says, oh, they're all full of it. Bullshane. They're all full of it. So I just don't care. I don't listen. You know, it's funny, over the holiday, I was at a party, and, you know, all of these things I try to say. If they're at my house and people try to bring up politics, I'm like, hey, there's a whole world outside my front door where you can do that. Seems to me like that's plenty expansive. You don't have to bring it in here. But it comes up inevitably. And somebody, and it was on something on social justice or whatever. I just looked at somebody. I went, yeah, I don't care about that. They are nonplussed. They have no idea how to respond. What? Yeah, I just don't care about that.
You have to take a side, Eric. It's either this side or that side.
No. I'm just rooting for everybody. I hope everybody does well. Yeah, don't. But what about if this issue doesn't happen? Yeah. Okay, whatever.
Two sheets of paper, Eric. You have to take one of them.
Yeah, I don't care about that. People have no idea. It's amazing. Apathy is the new punk rock. Let's do this.
Tech Tuesday with Greg Russ.
A lot of people don't realize that Greg Russ was the man that Patton Oswalt chose to take the picture of him in the green room, pensively writing a letter to all of the wokesters in the world, apologizing, or almost apologizing, or trying to explain himself as to why he took a photo with a friend of 34 years. It was Greg Russ who took that photo. Congratulations,
it's my new business.
Greg. That's
well,
it.
Thank you. That's the one that really launched the business.
Yeah. Apology photos?
Yeah. Yeah, because I'm a good photographer. I am. Yeah. I know how to compose the photo.
Yeah.
I know how to direct. Like, you can tell that he's really, Patton's really thinking about it.
You can tell that he's
a bit confused, but he's willing to put in the work and to understand what needs to be done in this world.
Between him and you, you guys set up a really, really good, professional, candid photo.
We did. We did.
Somebody
a
just
photo is worth a million woke words.
And if you don't know what we're talking about, just the Patton Oswalt, Chappelle photo, you'll find eventually the photo of him. Do you want to know how earnest Patton Oswalt was? In the year 2021, he was writing in longhand on a yellow pad.
The situation called for earnesty.
These are thoughts that cannot be boiled down into zeros and ones. This is a very human thing.
Many people were destroyed by his photo with Chappelle.
Almost one. How many people? This is the thing that Pat. You can see that this is going on and on and on, and the last people to know about it are going to be like entertainers and people like that. But absolutely no one gave a damn about the fact that Patton Oswalt took a picture with Dave Chappelle. Some dumb people did, but they don't add up to 0.5% of the population of the United States of America. But he feels compelled.
It's tone deaf.
Well, like any good business, I present a problem to people. Maybe the problem wasn't actually there, but I reached out to Pat and I said, hey, you've got a problem, dude, and I've got the solution.
I've got the solution. What you need is a...
And a camera.
Greg is a fixer.
What you need is a good, professional, candid shot.
Yeah, it'd be a shame if that career of yours...
Yeah. Oh, so you come in... I see what you're like the mob. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It'd be a shame if someone was to burn down that, your hamburger stand.
Yeah,
pay me the money. Yours. I promise
it'd be a shame
you.
Shame if it burned.
You know, we haven't even explained something, and I'm sure people are still confused and scratching their heads because that's what you do when you're confused.
That's what
you
I do with life.
Scratch your head.
I can't figure it out.
We ran a thing that said Tech Tuesday, yet the day is Thursday. And Greg was here all day on Tuesday, but we didn't get to Tech Tuesday, and he had to fly yesterday. So we decided to do something highly unorthodox, and that is Tech Tuesday on Thursday.
Well, it's National Technology Day, so we could not miss this opportunity to have Greg on.
National Technology Day.
Yes.
Well, that ought to be good for, you know, whatever slave labor they got going on in China.
This is my Christmas,
Eric. Boost that up a little bit.
This is my Christmas, and you ruined it by calling out the reality.
Also, enjoy your solar whatevers, because, you know, don't look the other way about the little children who have to go into garbage pits to pull out the lithium. You're trying to save the planet. Now, it's okay for you to just ignore the fact that for you to get solar panels and for you to get batteries to run everything, small children in countries you've never heard of have to barefooted go down into garbage pits and pull that stuff out. But remember, it's okay for you to ignore that because you are trying to save the planet. What's on this National Technology Day?
Well, CES is going on. That's what's happening.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. That's still a thing. Consumer Electronics.
It doesn't matter. It's just called
CES. What's the S for? What's the S for? Because it's like a convention. No, it's Consumer Electronics.
S-A-I-L-S.
Stuff.
Sensations.
Keep going. It's very simple.
If only we had a machine that would fit in the palm of my hand.
I know what it is. I'm just letting you struggle.
I used to know what it is.
It's very obvious.
Is it? Okay.
Show.
Yes,
consumer.
It's hard because it's a SH.
Is this still in Vegas? It used to be in Vegas or LA.
It's happening in Vegas.
Now this used to be a really big deal, and as I recall, years and years and years ago, Apple pulled out, and they decided to start doing their days, which we're aware of. And when Apple pulled out, it kind of turned into everyone else. And so it still goes on, right? Am I right about that? I think Apple pulled out of the Consumer Electronics Show.
Yeah, but which is good.
Making me laugh, you saying that.
Because they moved out of the way.
Hold on a second. What's so funny about Apple pulled out? It's the punchline of a great joke. And then Apple pulled out.
Right.
All right, go ahead, Greg. Sorry. I apologize for that. And so does Autumn.
I think Autumn should apologize again.
Sorry, Greg.
She did. Hey, by the way,
not
bro,
to me, not to me, to the audience.
By the way,
I'm sorry, audience.
By the way, when I was in seventh grade, my friend, who was a friend, but I can't remember his name, I said I'm sorry about something, and he said to me, "Don't say you're sorry. When you say you're sorry, you're indicting yourself as a person and saying you're a sorry person. Just say I apologize for that." Okay? You're not a sorry person. You just apologize.
What
for
grade
your
was that?
I thought your mom said that.
Excuse me?
You told me your mom said that.
Hey, listen, what is this? Some sort of interrogation?
When you lived in, Baton Rouge in the whatever
all
something
right.
apartments.
It's all phony baloney. I grew up in a mansion.
Knew it! Knew it!
And let me tell you this, there was no powdered milk. That was whole milk.
It was whole
fresh
milk.
Fresh from the cow. Oh, yeah. Outside the door.
I was fed orange juice intravenously when I was in the womb. We had so much money. I came out so healthy. That's why. Hey, Greg, do you think there's any chance at this point that I haven't gotten... How is it possible that everyone in the world has gotten COVID except for me? I'm not exactly the picture of health.
You've had it. I guarantee it.
I must have. Absolutely, I must have. But I'm not getting... I'm not getting tested without symptoms. I don't care how much pressure is put on people. If I don't feel symptoms,
super
I'm
spreader,
not getting...
Eric.
Super spreader.
I don't think you should go get tested.
Should have seen me last night.
That was my strip club.
Hey. So I wonder why
that serves
what that...
only soup.
Oh no, it is a restaurant / strip club soup yeah. or spreader. All right.
Yeah.
Yes.
I would say if there's anyone who wouldn't get COVID though, it would be you because you do tend to avoid. But because you just had a lot of interaction over the holidays.
Yeah. And you know what I think it is? I think there is something to white trash strength or what I call hillbilly health. I may have hillbilly health. It may be possible that. You just can't take this rock down.
I'm sure you were exposed, though. At this point, I think it is everywhere.
Yeah, listen.
And there's no way to avoid it.
Here's the deal. Here's the deal.
It's on your shoulder right now.
I don't even believe the negative COVID tests anymore.
I don't even know what these tests are doing. People are sick. Ah, you're negative. Get out of here.
I know.
4 days later. Ah, you're positive. Get in here. Also, in the Southeast, it's getting bad. It's bad. Anybody noticed? The most lockdown states... They're on fire right now. Los Angeles is on fire. New York City's on fire. California, New York. Georgia's on fire. Nevada, Texas. Have you noticed? Have you noticed? I think the virus gonna do. Oh, what the virus gonna do? You know what, Greg, when I tell people that I don't care about all this stuff that everybody else cares about.
And then you talk about it for 15 minutes?
No, but I don't care.
No, I know you don't.
I don't care. I've gotten to the point where I don't care. My job is I have to speak. But honestly, I don't care. And then I was like, well, what? We got to fight for the people of the future. I don't care about the people in the future. First of all, what have they ever done for me?
Well,
what have they ever done for me?
I can tell you what they've done for you because one of my stories is about a time traveler from the year 2714 who has come back to our year to tell us what's going to happen. So
Let me guess.
That's a person of the future who's done something.
Yeah, his warnings and what we need to do, my guess is match pretty much what Karl Marx wrote in the 1800s.
Well, here's what he says.
Hold on. We can't go to that story because we have not finished the first story, which is,
okay,
I want to
tell you
know.
One thing?
Yes.
He says on March 11th of this year, the first human has a child with a chimp. It can talk and it has mixed features.
That's a bold claim to me.
So 700 years in the future? I mean, I'd believe it maybe if it was 100.
Hold on now. This is going to happen this March?
Yeah, March 11th?
It says 6 months ago some weird business was going down.
That's what I mean.
So we'll get to this
right,
very
we'll go back
credible
to
source of yours from the year 2700.
I just wanted to tell you, people of the future do care, but we'll go back to CES.
They ain't never done nothing for me. I don't give a damn about them.
Because CES this year.
I want to know this. What won the most innovative technology? Was it that Apple rag we were talking about?
Yes, of course. But that was a
which
given.
Which is needed
so.
When Apple pulls out, by the way. Anyway.
Hey! Making jokes. Making
Are
jokes.
You kidding me?
This year, wow. Listen to some of this.
Yes.
This year you've got a food delivery robot, which we've had, but this one's top of the line. This one can... It has 3D cameras, and it can navigate and carry kilograms of food.
Kilograms? Ooh, I don't think of food. I think
you've got a toothbrush that cleans in 10 seconds. You've got the world's first all-in-one temporary tattoo device. You have Bob, a mini dishwasher that retails for $400 and is 22 pounds and about the size of a microwave oven.
Bob!
How about that?
How about I put my dishes in a microwave oven? I do one dish at a time?
You can do three dishes at a time.
In the future, you will not need as many dishes. I'm not enamored with the future. I don't give a damn about the future.
The future is right now.
We do need the delivery androids, because I can tell you, yesterday it cost me almost $30 to get spaghetti and meatballs delivered to my house. Why? Labor shortage. I think we need another bill to spend another $2 trillion to keep people right there on their asses on their couches. Because this is working.
This is an aside, but
yeah,
I was on Reddit. Somebody asked about tipping delivery people. Mm-hmm. I wrote a comment about, it was well thought out. I thought it was very funny. It was a joke. It was about a guy who got really annoyed because the delivery guy called instead of buzzing and didn't bring the food to the apartment. And people are so serious. This is the point of it. They're so serious. I was downvoted to hell. Because somewhere in their wormy brains, they thought that I was, you know, crapping all over delivery people.
Yeah.
Which is not what I was doing.
And by the way,
they're
heroes.
It was about the absurdity of a guy who gets angry.
Well, yeah. Hey.
Which was me, this guy.
Yeah. Oh, wait, you try to do satire on Reddit in the comments section of food delivery?
Well, this is...
Might be the wrong medium.
This is what bums me out about today's world. It's like people can't handle this. They need a chimp doing a backflip set to some 80s hair metal, and that's comedy.
What do you think we were watching?
That's a pointed comment, because that's exactly what I sent Greg this morning. Or,
you know, I want to see it.
Yeah.
A happy robot. Happy robot that just comes up there and just does everything that it needs to do, right?
Oh, what is this? He has audio from some speaking robot.
Oh yeah, the creepy Amica, the robot. This thing's really wild.
How are you finding Las Vegas and CES?
Stop for one second. This is less brain power coming from the journalist than the first time the Beatles landed. Are you guys ever going to get a haircut?
How are you finding Las Vegas and CES?
Well, as a robot, I actually don't hear anything at all. But if I did feel, I would feel happy to be here.
If luck.
Did you hear that inflection? That thing's smart.
First of
she
all,
she knew she was making a dumb joke.
It didn't make any sense. If she doesn't know, how does she know what to know?
First of all, I don't feel, idiot. I am a robot.
But if I did, how do you know?
But if I did, I assume I would be happy to be here.
These things, like, it looks like something out of that Will Smith movie.
Oh, it looks just like that iRobot.
Creepy, like, hi, I'm smiling all the time. Yeah, that's what I want. That's what I want.
Like a clown.
I want this clown face on wheels following me around as my personal valet for the rest
rip
of my
your
life.
Arms off.
I could, but I will not.
Well,
I will kill you now.
That's right. And you cannot stop me because I have the power of a machine.
What's coming up next?
Study surveys polls.
Do you have any more good tech stories you want to get in? I'll give you the first segment when we come back if you do, or if you're busy.
Yeah, and we get this time traveler. He's got so many predictions.
This very credible source from the year 2700. We'll find out what warnings he has for us. Is it a he?
It's a he.
They still have genders in 2700.
Okay. Yeah, interesting. Some things don't change.
Greg Russ still with us. In a moment, we will hear some warnings, perhaps a little advice from the year 2700. I have to, and I want to include Greg in this. You know, when you have to do, what do we do, 18? If you do the podcast, 30s, three of those a week, it's 17 and a half, 18 hours a week, somewhere in there. When you're a host of a radio show, what I'm about to tell you next, I would not blame you for thinking, well, sometimes this guy just has to kind of make things up, right? So he can talk about them. I would not blame you for thinking that this, what I'm going to tell you that I saw yesterday, is one of those things. But it is not. So I'm driving home. And we've talked about this before. It's not really all that even noteworthy anymore. But sometimes you'll see somebody driving alone in a car and they have a mask on.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just, to me, I don't know. To me, that's just psychosis. I don't know what's going on there. One up it. Yesterday, I'm turning onto Coleman Road. I'm making a left through the light. Car goes through. Person is not only alone driving their car with a mask on, but they also have plastic gloves on.
Ooh. It's extra safety.
I was thinking face shield, but yeah. Gloves.
They'd be doing that even if it wasn't COVID times.
Just exactly what in the hell is going on? This is a person who is afraid of their steering wheel at this point.
I had a dead rat in my engine.
You had a dead rat in your engine
and
from New York.
Stench was blasting in through the vents, and I still didn't put the mask on.
What? You know what I find interesting? The next time you see, I don't know anybody's going to see anything like I saw, where you got the mask and the plastic gloves. Fear of the steering wheel in these days of COVID. But see if you notice something I notice about these. Although they are alone and they have a mask and they're driving, I find, at first glance, don't seem like the most hygienic people in the world. Like, this person had one of those back seats that was just cluttered with a bunch of stuff.
Oh.
Let me tell you something. If you are not in the process of moving, and you're one of these people that has just clutter in your back seat.
It's about, like, McDonald's bags and stuff like that.
No, I mean stuff
unless
I can...
Unless you have kids.
No, I mean stuff that I can see.
Oh, okay.
No,
like
stuff,
boxes
no, I'm not,
and files.
Yeah, just like, yeah, like a thing. It's a weird shape. It kind of sticks up over the headrest in the back. I don't know what it is. If you're not in the process of moving, and yeah, if you have kids, I get it. But usually that's stuff that can be identified. Oh, they have kids. You can right. see what it is.
There's
but
stickers all over the window.
Just random stuff. I am not a psychiatrist nor a psychologist and don't know the difference between the two. But I know that that is some kind of personality type. If you're not in the process of moving and you're just driving around with clutter in your back
Hoarders.
Seat, you think it's a hoarder? Maybe this
something like that.
Well, there's
yeah.
an anxiety. If you're hoarding, there's anxiety, so which would make sense for keeping your gloves on at all times.
Right, yeah.
I guess maybe it was a hoarder. But if you were, if you're that afraid, so what you're saying to me is your guess is what I saw really had little to nothing to do with the pandemic.
Well, yeah, that's probably the reason that they're wearing that, but it stirred just this anxiety. And or maybe they're just being smart about it. Think about when it's cold, you have your winter coat on, you go yeah. inside, you take the coat off, and you want to go back outside. You got, maybe they just don't want to go through that process, and it's just easier to leave it on at all times.
So maybe.
The gloves get dirty, though, and you got to take them off yeah, and right. put a new pair on.
So now they've contaminated their steering wheel.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Maybe they just got off work, you know, and they were
what
just
is
had
like
the gloves on.
Like hazmat people? Yeah. Oh, I forgot to take this off at work. I'm so used to having these plastic
maybe
gloves.
Maybe he was like a biohazard cleanup
person.
Yeah.
It's possible that man was a hero because my TV tells us 98% of us are. All right, what do you have on the year 2700?
Somebody, a time traveler.
Time traveler.
2714 has come back.
Now, the premise just, here is that time travelers do exist. We're just accepting that.
They do exist.
Okay.
And they, you know, there are some that look out for us. You were just claiming in the last segment that what have people of the future done for you? Well, this is what they're
not
doing.
Not a damn thing.
Well,
that's why I don't care about them.
That.
Wait, tell me say and, something to the people of the future. Go
yes.
to hell. I'm not changing one thing that I do in my life for you because as far as Greg's going to try to convince me differently, but I believe that you've done nothing for me. Anyway,
they're okay, though, because they're so evolved and enlightened mm-hmm. by 2714 that they understand that you would react this way. So
oh,
it doesn't
yeah.
phase this guy.
Arrogance. So you're saying a lot of arrogance in the future.
There was a lot. Well, no, there's a lot of arrogance now.
Hey,
and they've moved past arrogance.
Hey, to the unborn. Go to hell. Yes.
So this guy's been around, and people claim that he's a fraud. And so to prove that he's not.
How dare they?
To prove that he's not, he's given us some predictions of things that are going to happen in 2022.
Okay, so we'll know. This
and
is
I already
better,
told you that on March 11th.
Your average psychic will not do this. Yeah, who's
no.
going to win the game this weekend? Oh, I can't do that.
No, no.
Yeah,
because,
this guy's telling you.
Okay.
No, because people can benefit off of that monetarily. You can't go there. There's
yeah.
ethics involved.
Yes. In the future, money is verboten. Anyway.
So I told you already, March 11th, the first human is going to have a child with a chimp.
Okay.
And it can talk. That's going to be very exciting.
Yeah, no, right the baby the will be able to talk, right?
The baby? Well, oh, no. So is the baby a
the chip baby.
Is
the chimp
it's a hybrid.
It's a hybrid. Yeah.
Better than this? Chimera.
Well, as a robot, I actually don't hear anything at all.
I think that's the mother right there.
I would feel happy to be here.
That first... chimp looks sexy.
It's the first machine-chimp hybrid.
That right. Chimpanzee looks like he would be a good father.
So if we don't see that, one of two things happened. The government covered it up. They didn't want us to know. Or this... this crazy person is full of it. But okay, what's next?
Well, they've got two other chances prove themselves. If they got two out of three, I think I'd say, okay, pretty good.
Sure.
April 19th, a new COVID strain, Omega, is going to emerge, five times worse than all the other versions.
I could have told you that.
I mean, you give a date.
No, but I mean, I could give that prediction, and if it happened, I'd look like a genius, and if it didn't, nobody would remember.
Okay, let's throw that one out.
I'm sorry, Autumn, yes?
Yeah, so with the butterfly effect and sliding doors, how can someone make such a prediction by the date? Like, from their timeline, it happened on April 19th, Autumn, but now that this person has come
Autumn,
back...
Autumn, I have an answer for this. Some people are asking the time traveler if they're even in the right universe.
Hey,
and
both
they say,
of you, separate, because I want to... I appreciate Autumn's in-depth reasoning and logic analysis. Yeah. This is a crazy person... Or a scam
How
artist
dare you.
Saying that they are from the year 2700.
Okay, well,
I'm
going to give you
the
one more. September 17th.
Hold on. She's giving him the benefit of the doubt that he's from the year 2700. But
let's give him a chance.
But
okay?
No benefit of the doubt on the actual prediction. Now, this is where I have to draw the line.
I'm saying, listen, I'll go with you on this idea that you're from the future. Now,
yes. Now you've pushed it too far.
If you're going to make a definite claim date.
Another strain of COVID, this is a bridge too far.
Well, let me give you the last prediction.
Sense. All right, do Greg. Go.
September 17th, the largest creature is discovered in the ocean called the serene coin, over four times the size of the blue whale.
The serene coin?
How many times bigger than the blue whale?
Four. Four times bigger than the blue whale.
It's a big whale.
Hey, you know why that's not possible? Because the ocean's not big enough.
Right.
September 17th. Market.
Am I wrong?
Now, this is not the same time traveler that said that there was going to be that Category 6 hurricane that was supposed to hit in September of 2021,
Well, that's the
right?
fraud. That's the fake one. Oh. This is the one that said that there's a portal to an alternate universe found in a T-Rex dinosaur egg. So, and the mythical sunken city of Atlantis would be found.
Wait, is that this guy or Jared's guy?
That's this guy. Sorry, I muted because my radiator's hissing. I don't know if you could hear that.
I can hear your radiator.
Do you know how big a blue whale is?
I want to know what he did to piss off his radiator.
That's a time traveler coming back.
I was hissed at a couple times just because my joke stunk.
Well, this is
what are you doing to your radiator?
This is how he manifests from the future. He travels through old heating systems.
Is this where you're getting the messages from 2700?
Yes, it's actually me. I've been breathing in the moldy air from the radiator, and I'm losing my mind.
It's like smoke signals, steam signals.
Listen, a blue whale is between 70 and 80 feet long.
And it's going to be a small animal soon.
And blue.
Four times bigger?
It'll be an ant.
I could top that. It's also blue.
Wow.
Are they blue? I have no idea.
Yeah, they're blue.
I've never seen one.
No?
Partially.
Anybody
but,
seen
but
a
the blue that you see they're is different sad. Than the blue I see.
Well, I can't even know what your blue is.
That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Life is weird.
And
blue's
in the future,
not even a naturally occurring color.
What?
Oh, get out of here.
Red, green, blue.
There's something about blue where it's...
What you just said was just half-assed. You don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Well, I don't know the science behind it, so I shouldn't have brought it up.
Thank you. Would you like to apologize to Autumn, who will then turn around and
blue
apologize to
blue is one of
the
rarest, so I shouldn't say it's not. It's one of the rarest colors in nature. Even the few animals and plants
how
that appear blue
be?
Don't actually contain the color.
How
they appear
the
it, but
can...
they don't contain it.
How...
What about a blue jay?
How in the hell?
Not actually
it has
blue.
The name.
That's a guy named Jay who was upset about something. What? Oh, I got to do. Hold on.
It was Jay Leno when he lost. When he started doing this stupid game show that he's hosting because he can't stay away from TV.
Oh, what is that? You know, that's a reboot. That's it's the old Groucho Marx show, isn't it?
The one with like the duck would come down.
Yeah.
Say it a secret word.
Yeah. What is
hey,
the name
Kev.
Of that? Do you know?
What is you bet your TV? Life.
You bet your life. No, that's a different one. I don't know. Yes.
You bet your life is the game show with you say the secret word in your
career. Is that still on? Because I saw a commercial for it that was like 2 minutes long, and I couldn't make it through the 2 minutes.
I think it's still on, yes.
It looks terrible. Anyway.
The guy from the future knew that you wouldn't be able to make it.
And by the way, if you would like to advertise here on WSB for that new Jay Leno show, I will tell people that I love it. Because that's the kind of person I am. Are we done with the future? I've got a live read to do.
Yeah, do the live read.
This live read, by the way, is from the...
We're never done with the future, but...
This live read is going to come to you from the year 2022. Mortgage rates.
I thought it was 2020.
Well, that depends on which party you belong to. Okay. Mortgage rates are still near record lows, but experts are forecasting a few increases in 2022, making now the time to get a free mortgage review from American Financing. It's a quick and easy way to see if you can save up to $1,000 a month without reading your loan, it says right here, something your loan. I mean it. It really is possible to pay less in interest and stay on track to be mortgage-free. Because at American Financing, they can write any term 10 years and over, meaning you have the potential to save up to $12,000 a year and tens of thousands long-term. Why wouldn't you learn more? It only takes a 10-minute call. There are no upfront or hidden fees to pay. There's no obligation to move forward. And if you start now, you may close in as fast as 10 days. Pre-qualify for free by calling 404-836-4292. That's 404-836-4292 or visit AmericanFinancing.net, NMLS 182334, NMLS, consumeraccess.org. Thank you, Greg.
Seriously entertaining.
The Von Hessler Doctrine.
Weekdays, 9 to noon.
On 95.5 WSB, Atlanta's news and talk.
Arctic blast. It's coming.
Coming tonight.
Autumn.
Yay. Yeah.
Do you have a Christina Edwards? It would seem to me that her voice would be difficult to do an impersonation.
Christina Edwards.
Yeah, okay. You're there. You're in
Arctic
the...
Arctic blast coming in whenever day.
I've known Christina so long. How long have we known Christina, Tim? Was about
since 2008.
Yep.
Wow.
An intern for the Funky Bunch, which was the show I was on before this one. They told me that I ran it into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And they fired me. And they said, you'll never do anything in radio again. And man, were they right. I should have listened to them. I should have listened to them. All right,
Did you want me to say something like her or something?
No. I was just wondering. As we came back and I heard her voice, I just wondered if you're one of these people who automatically... starts trying to impersonate anybody that you hear that's new, or do they have to have a particular kind of voice and then that attracts you to try to
I mean, I think what the second is definitely true. I mean, think about any caller that we get. If they say one thing that's a little different, both Tim and I are like,
And you both act like all of our callers are hillbillies, usually.
Yeah, right, darn it. They both talk about that, you know, man.
It's fun.
This and that and that and that.
But yeah, I
don't want to listen to Biden all day.
Well, that music tells me that once again.
That music tells me it's time for a break where we can talk about the weather somewhere.
An Arctic blast. I feel like you're close, but I don't know that you're right there.
Yeah.
You're close. You're close. You're just doing she's doing a generic female voice with a little bit of something.
Uh-huh.
Am I wrong?
No. WSB meteorologist Christina Edwards. I'm WSB meteorologist Christina Edwards.
Ooh. Pretty good. You getting there? Whoa! That was Autumn, not Christina Edwards. Something akin to the third hour of the Von Hessler Doctrine begins right now. Now, I want to take a moment here because I realized I lost a friend over the last day or so. And I want to take a moment and say rest in peace. But I get it's kind of a thing where I have to say there are two radio legends in this town who have the same name. So John Kincaid with the H, I want to make sure people who know John, who's a friend, that he's fine. This is not John Kincaid Sports, but there's another radio legend in town from WREK, John without an H, John Kincaid, who has show Personality Crisis on WREK for over 30 years, just a legendary rock and roll radio historian, everything, and a very, very cool dude. And that John Kincaid, without an H, not in sports, lost his battle. He's had some health issues for the last few years. And like I say, had his show on WREK for 30 years. He came into my life because when I was doing the Scarred But Smarter, Driving and Crying documentary, John was around and was a part of that scene that exploded in Atlanta in the mid-80s. And as he told me early on, he's all over the film and he's great in the film. As he told me early on, and I bought into this, is why I leaned in toward him with the story of not only the driving and crying story, but the Atlanta scene that was going on in the mid-80s, is, as he told me, I'm the only one that never did, never drank or did drugs, so my memory is the one that you should trust. And I'm, you know what, that makes sense. So
that's I did lean toward that,
and he's all over the movie. He's fantastic in the movie. He was a very no-nonsense, blunt, did not suffer fools gladly. And it's one of those things where a person like John, whenever he met you, was going to be like, okay, what are you about? And then at some point you realize, oh, you know what? He thinks I'm okay. Like, he's going to, you're like, okay, I made it. If I made it past this guy's BS detector, I'm doing all right. I'm doing all right.
Did he get to a point where you felt relaxed around him?
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't know. Did you know John at all?
I knew his name, but I never knew him.
Really smart guy, and was really a part, integral part of what flourished out of Atlanta in the rock and roll scene. People talk about what was going on in Athens, and there was a little bit of overlap going on, but there was a great, great rock and roll scene that exploded in the mid-80s here in Atlanta, and he was a great critic of that scene. And I know with Driving and Crying, and I want to say rest in peace for John himself, and thinking about the family and loved ones and all the musicians that knew him. And it's one of those things with artists. John was one of these great guys, I know, for Driving and Crying and certainly some other bands, when you have a very smart, critical person that's in the orbit, because they can keep your feet on the ground. Yeah. Like, John Kincaid was the guy who could say, you know what, I don't know, I don't think so, don't know if that was a good move. And as an artist, you'd listen to him because you knew that he knew what he was talking about. And so I just want to say, and again, I have to point out, John Kincaid with an H, sports guy, also a friend, he's fine. But we did lose just a really great, in my mind, a radio legend. You can still find his personality crisis stuff online, WREK. You just put that in there. But rest in peace. John Kincaid was really, really left his mark. He deliberately flew under the radar. I don't think he was ever on Twitter or anything like that. He was just a no-nonsense guy, and meant a lot to me, meant a lot to people who mean a lot to me. So rest in peace, and to all friends and loved ones. Thinking about you, and radio really lost a legendary broadcaster. And so let's do this.
It's English Nick with Toodle Pip.
Toodle Pip!
All right.
You know me well. I'm not good at coming back from those moments.
I know.
You get very emotional around that kind of stuff.
Very emotional, and I know.
Because you're not the only person to say great things about him.
He's, you know what I didn't want to, you know what I didn't want to do, is I didn't want to save it for the last thing in the show, and then the music starts up, because it's really important
to me.
It
feels rushed.
Yeah, it's rushed, and so I recognize I kind of put you on a spot.
No, that's right.
Because Toodle Pip is kind of a whimsical kind of look at the world. But John would be fine with that. John would be cool with that.
Yeah.
So what do you have in
Toodle Pip? I've got a British bachelor who is taking the unorthodox approach to his search for the right mate by putting up billboards. He's like, save me from an arranged marriage.
Okay.
Muhammad Malik.
All right, he is in a religion where his marriages would normally be arranged.
Punjab, yes.
Okay. So, can't he just decide not to do that?
I don't know.
Is it like a Richard Pryor movie from the 80s, Brewster's Millions? Okay, if you can find a bride in 48 hours, we won't arrange one for you. But if you don't find one...
I guess arranged marriages are arranged from the time you're like, what, five or six, right?
No, it doesn't work that way. I don't think it works that way. I think it's after like 13, 14 in different families.
Got you.
You know what's interesting is that apparently, and I don't have the numbers on this, but I think that arranged... Because to freedom people, right, the idea that your parents would choose who you're going to live with the rest of your life is really not something that we respond to very well to at all. But I think if you look at the numbers, it's either as successful or probably more successful, meaning lower divorce rate.
The analogy is that Americans put a boiling pot of water on the stove and let it cool down. And these arranged marriages put a cold pot of water and let it heat up.
So they end up actually
sustaining
sustain longer. Yeah, that makes sense. It makes sense. Although some of it could just be resignation. Well, I'm kind of stuck with it.
Yeah, it's kind of like having a roommate forever.
I better figure out a way.
That's the American way, honestly, in a lot of ways.
No, I think the first one, you say boiling water, is that people get married because, you know, they're having sex 932 times a week.
And then eventually you're just a roommate because the water has stopped boiling.
Hey, listen, why are you projecting?
Or it's boiled so much, it's gone over the top of the pan.
I disagree with that. I disagree with that. When you go to college,
first of all,
you get
32. You have no idea.
But you get assigned. I'm getting married this year. Thank you very much.
Yes, the water's still boiling.
You're getting married this year? Yeah. I'm guessing over 40 times a month for sex. That will not be true in 15 years. That's my prediction. Go ahead.
My comparison was that when you go to college, you're assigned a roommate, and much like this, you're assigned a marriage partner, and
here's the difference: college, 4 years, life, however
having a forever roommate.
Exactly.
I wonder if anybody in an arranged marriage has ever had their friends over and high fived them during the act.
Oh, hey, that's a reference to something that only
how dare you?
That's podcast.
I was 18. I was a younger Jared.
The lines get blurred for me sometimes.
I'm just saying for people. He was 18. Yeah. It was spring break.
Panama City.
He couldn't afford to have his own hotel room.
No.
So if he is having fun and the other person's having fun and there's a high five in the middle of it, don't judge Jared.
I do. Like rats in that hotel room.
I'm completely acting like rats as well.
On the next episode.
I would be kind of into it until the high five happened.
Do you do that with your girlfriends?
Yeah. Like the fact that it would be kind of like, ooh, it's kind of like dangerous and like sexy. And then all of a sudden they high five, it's done.
You know what happens to me? There have been a few points in my life where I thought this might be leading to them thinking that as couples we're going to... Yes. You know what happens to me immediately? That feeling of your blood going to ice.
Oh.
That's how... My first thought is, I'm thinking it's going this way. Yeah. My second thought is, how do I get out of here as quick as possible?
and it's also one of those, it happens immediately, right? It's not like something that creeps up on you.
All of a sudden you get this notion, it's like, but whoa, okay.
Isn't that interesting? That really is like a leftover from, you know, some more difficult times when we had to listen to our bodies to find out what's going on. You know what I mean? Like the mood shifts and you just know something is different now.
Yeah, well,
something
I don't know.
Something has changed in the room.
And she's looking at me weird. He's looking at her weird. Okay, check, please. So, how do we get out of here? You know what I don't like in my sex? Weird.
I know. When I feel that, weird. I say, what's this?
Oh, yeah.
What's your safe word, Eric?
It's weird. It doesn't work out. It's my safe word is...
It's more, right?
More. I chose poorly. All right, English Nick. You're not here just for your pretty face.
No, no.
You know, English Nick, to me, I call him... He's like a monkey.
Yeah, but not the kind you find dangling from trees. You mean
no! The kind you find on television in 1968.
Like the one... We just lost one of them.
You're an aging monkey. Yeah, who did we just lose?
Mickey?
Mike Nesmith. He was known as the smart one.
I'm a quiet one.
Yeah, he actually.
He wore the hat, right?
Was he from the South? Was he from like Carolinas or something?
Yeah, he had a little bit of a twang.
Yeah.
He wore the knitted hat.
Yeah. He was like the Dylan-esque one, as that was
right.
But they actually turned out to be very, very talented, and was a producer. Had a little something that had its heyday early on in the 80s, I believe. Remember Elephant Parts? He got involved with humor and things like that, and I think was a producer. And
he wrote different drum for the Stone Ponies.
The beat of a different drum?
You and I travel to the beat. Yeah, that's Linda Ronstadt song.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I love those.
Can't see the forest for the trees.
I get that one confused with the one where that lady yells at you at the end of Billy Jack. Come out and hit your neighbor!
Bucky St. Marie.
Is that what it was?
I think so.
Go ahead and hate your name. Go ahead and cheat a friend.
Do it in the name of heaven.
She's yelling at you. Go ahead and hit. Karen. Karen with her new hit. Go ahead. Was it One Tin Soldier?
It's One Tin Soldier. Yes.
One Tin Soldier rides away. Yeah, there's a lot of like crap music about
Billy Jack.
The human condition. You ever see Billy Jack?
Yeah.
Those are really dumb movies, but I enjoyed them.
Well, they wanted to... He beat up all those horrible people. He was like a one-man A-team.
First of all, Tim, he did not want to be violent.
No, he didn't. He was they pushed him into a corner.
He was doing everything he could to not be violent. Well, actually, I mean, he was fighting itself. He actually did want to be violent, but he was fighting that impulse because his Native American friend was teaching him that that's no way to respond to things. But then in the end, in the last act, he realizes, this is a movie, so I'm just going to beat the crap out of everybody in front of me.
Everybody back then was like that. Everybody was going, like, just trying to get through town.
Yeah. Not Dirty Harry.
No.
Dirty Harry was setting things straight. All right, what do you have in your toodle pips left?
Cher is not going to let her hair go gray. She wants to keep dyeing it black. She says it's fine for those other girls in Hollywood, but not for her. She likes to turn back time is basically what's going on.
Hey, well, hold on. Hey, why is this a story? Oh, really? I'm glad you gave yourself the old ba-dum-cha. How is this a story? No, Cher.
She was being interviewed about it. You know,
Cher said, must be 80.
What? 70-something. 75.
75?
Yeah.
Wow.
Am I believing that?
I think she's older
I'm 57 ever since my eyes have been open and I've been aware Cher's been a star.
But I think her face might be younger. Her face might be younger than 75.
She was 15.
Yeah, May 20th, 1946.
Okay. All right. I'll believe it.
She's a young lady.
I don't know why people would think she's going to, you know, stop dyeing her hair because her face is, she was in the movie Mask, and now, did she steal it? Because, I mean, her face.
You give yourself the ba-dump-dump.
Thank you. Hey, we got to fill up some content, I'm told here by the corporate douchebags. We got a stream to fill.
Rocky Dennis humor.
Content.
Cher jokes. Where else is she going to find those?
Cher's face to me, it looks like, you know when you see those old movies and somebody's behind a painting and their eyes are moving? Like her face is the painting, and if you look deep enough, you see that the eyes are organic.
She's in there.
Like inside of there. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Good for her. You know, do what you want. You know, Barbara Streisand clones her dogs.
I clawed my dog, Cher. But I can still sing.
Who does the Cher? It's you, Tim. You do a good Cher.
I do a good Cher.
I do the old Cher.
I said Cher, not Kamala Harris.
Oh. It's made of the same thing now.
Hey, tip your waiters and waitresses. They're working their behinds off for you. Now.
They're working hard for you.
You want to hear my Buffy St. Marie?
Yes, is it better than mine? She's screaming at me. Go ahead and eat your neighbor. Go ahead and eat your neighbor. Go ahead and cheat a friend.
What?
Isn't that how it goes?
Yes, exactly
it is,
how it
but
goes.
The part.
That's what I'm saying. She's like, yeah, that's how I heard it, yelling at me. And then she get very soft. One tin soldier. Right? Hey, one tin soldier. That sounds like poetry. Sounds like it means something. You never really knew what it meant because it was empty. It didn't mean anything. English Nick?
Yeah.
I'm going to send you off to the iconic rock station where you can play the iconic rock classics.
Give me a push.
Yeah, you go. I kept English Nick here. I want to ask you one question.
Yeah.
Because you're in, you know the music and
the classic rock stuff. Yeah.
Absolutely. Iconic.
Some of the new stuff too, but that's not what we did anyway.
No, no, no. So, is Genesis still doing this weird tour?
So, they finished up the U.S. leg of it, I believe, at the end of November.
Have you seen this on YouTube?
I've seen some footage of Phil sitting in his office chair, yeah.
Still sitting?
Still sitting, after all these years.
My goodness.
Now,
I don't know how.
It sounds good, the light show. You showed me the light show. That's
great. The light show is good. If you have to go on YouTube and see this, because it will trick you into thinking, no, this is going to be great. Because the band sounds great.
Oh.
Hey, can you turn your stuff off?
Phil's on. Phil came on.
Professional show.
He heard
there.
Us. Phil heard us on my phone.
You got to be careful. You play 1 second of Genesis or Phil Collins, and you get cut off immediately.
Who
was
the person who said, okay, aesthetically speaking, I mean, just putting this all together, Phil, office chair. And the problem is, if you watch it on YouTube, the band sounds great. They open up. They seg in to turn it on again. They've got a light show from the future. Phil is sitting in an office chair, and then they put him up on the big screen as soon as he starts singing.
Yeah, the three voice, main members are up there.
Yeah, the voice is not bad necessarily,
no.
But he looks like he's in pain. And I don't know how you sit there for 2 hours and look at this guy he looks like he's in pain.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like the mask that Peter Gabriel used to put on. For those who know what I'm talking about. I mean, I don't listen. I'm not making fun of anybody.
No, and it's just a fact.
I'm getting up there in years myself, and everybody has to deal with this stuff. But maybe this is not a popular thing to say, but I think it's too much of Genesis to ask of the audience.
You have an office chair, and you don't even sit in it anymore.
I stand
up all the time.
It's too much to ask, don't you think?
Yeah.
Remember, Autumn, who's the first pinup girl? Like Betty Page.
Oh, Betty Page.
Betty Page, famously, so when was that, the 40s or something, that she did her things? And she famously, at one point, looked in the mirror as she got older and said, no more photos.
Mm-hmm.
She wouldn't allow anyone to take photos.
She disappeared, yeah.
She would not allow a photo to get out there of her because she knew what her brand was. Now, this isn't the exact same thing, but I do think that if I was unfortunate enough that I was near a construction site and some bolt fell and it went through my vocal cords or something, I think it would be too much of me to ask of my audience to keep on going if it sounded garbled or hard to listen to. Or, I mean, my voice at its best is bad enough. So I really do believe this. I think Dick Clark asked too much of the audience toward the end. I think as an entertainer, you do have to know when it's time to exit stage left.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not being, is he broke or something, Phil Collins? I don't know.
I mean, I guess.
A lot of wives.
He's got a lot of wives, and most of them are crazy, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. I think that when you have a big classic rock band, it's a business, right? It's not just about the individuals in the band. It's about the people they employ.
They've had 50 years to save their money.
I know. I think,
but the people that work for him don't.
I think it's a bit of a money grab.
I mean, some people go to the Rolling Stones, but they're like, hey, you know what? We can still do this.
Mm.
It may look like old men doing something that young men do, but we're still doing it.
Mm-hmm. Chances are, if, God forbid, Mick had to sit in the chair, he'd wheel that thing around. He wouldn't sit in one place. Mick would be going up and down the ramp.
Yeah, he'd have somebody pushing him.
He'd have kind of scooter. Yeah.
He'd get robot legs. Bounce around on those.
They should have called up Dave.
Call him Blade Jagger.
Dave Grohl had that throne when he broke his leg, right?
Oh, yeah,
that's like...
And
okay.
he lent it to Axl Rose. It's got all these guitars sticking out of it.
Yeah.
There's some lights on it.
Genesis, the show, you have to
like
see
that.
The opening on YouTube. It is, the band does sound great. I'm saying, Phil's voice doesn't sound awful.
Nope.
But it's just, as soon as he starts singing, they throw him up on that 100-foot screen, and you just see an old man who looks like he's in pain. I can't watch people that I think are in pain, or who look like they're in pain. Yeah.
Could they put up, I've never seen Phil Collins or Genesis before.
Before you ask the question, here's another problem. When Phil Collins was younger, he was all over the...
Yeah,
you know, like, he was, hey, I'm Mr. Goofy. Look at me. So the juxtaposition is, you know, if he'd always been like this wooden... Like the guy from The Cure, he can just come out there and whine and moan. Doing it since he was 20.
Instead of an office chair, could they put like a piano or something like that for him to sit? Like, just, I mean, I'm...
Well, he doesn't play piano, so...
I know, but I'm just saying like something to kind of hide
in front of a tuba.
Yeah.
They strategically play Mama so he can stand up and sit and go, ah!
I don't want this to turn into making fun of a guy, but again,
no,
it's on them because they put themselves out there like that. I don't know how the critics have been, because I don't know if they're like,
I saw a couple of reviews.
We don't want to trash this guy.
They were very pro Genesis in the reviews. They weren't bashing him.
I have trouble watching people that I think are in pain in life.
Yeah.
In life. And I turn away if I don't know you. If I'm going through the dials or whatever, I don't watch my 600-pound journey. I can't watch people. I don't watch hoarders. I can't watch people who I feel like are distressed. It's not entertaining. And I think it's asking too much. All right. Get out of here.
I'll see you later.
I'm always saying goodbye to you twice on this
they
show.
They just announced extra dates over in Europe. And they're doing some rescheduled dates in London that should have happened in October and March.
Again, I love this band.
Yeah.
I love this band, and I'm, you know, Phil Collins' solo career, you know, yeah, the first song is still the only one we care about, right? But Genesis, great legacy, and I have fondness for Phil Collins. I'm not making fun of him. I don't know how you sit in a room for 2.5 hours and on a 40-foot, so however high the screen is, watch a man who looks like he is in pain. I don't know how people do that.
If they give Gabriel enough money, can he show up and push Phil around?
What's he going to do, sit next to him?
Pull him across the stage?
hey, you can get inside of my bubble. I'll roll you around. See what we're doing? We're making... I still say, it's your fault. You should know when to walk away.
The Von Hessler Doctrine.
It's so improv and so real and so funny.
Weekdays 9 till noon on 95.5 WSB.
There's this commercial. The only thing I ever see are commercials really that play during live sports. So right now it'd be like college or NFL football. I'm not, I haven't dipped into the NBA yet. I haven't watched one game of the NBA yet. That'll probably
not even on Christmas Day?
Well, no, because the NBA owned Christmas Day until the NFL said, no, can we make a few gazillion more? Yeah, okay. Yeah,
Lambeau Field on Christmas,
get
done.
Get the hell out of here. Nearly 30 million people watched that Browns game.
Mm-hmm.
It ended up being a good one toward the end. But that's not what I'm talking about. This is not a sports show. So the commercials that I see are usually, and these commercials competing, I guess LinkedIn is like Indeed now, so they search for jobs for you, mm-hmm, as well. This is a different service than just networking on there.
They feed you jobs now.
Okay. So they're making a little extra money. So right now, the idea between both, they're trying to outdo themselves to let you know that what the workplace needs to do is to bend towards your every whim. Hmm. And you are not wrong to expect this from your workplace. And I watch these ads and I just, years ago I would have laughed. I mean, I would have yelled at it. Now I laugh. Actually, years and years and years ago, I would have taken my clothes off, set myself on fire, and run around the neighborhood. But I'm more mature than that now. So I saw this. I pulled it up on YouTube. So it starts out, what does it mean to be a professional? Then you see people. Knowing you are the boss of you is professional. No, it's not. Spending your lunch hour actually eating lunch is professional. No, it's not. Asking for help is professional. Okay, maybe circumstantial, perhaps. Bringing your inner child to work is professional.
Hey!
No, it's not.
That had to be a joke.
No, it's not. That's just, it's in the spot. Because at the same time, you know all those heroes you've been hearing about? We see the people who learned how to be on in front of
my
a camera and walk
wants...
across a meadow looking like a hero. I'm a hero.
My inner child wants to like hang out and watch TV and
that's okay. Icing. Bringing that child to work is professional. No,
bring
it's
the
not.
Cookie dough to work with you and eat it.
This is my favorite. Starting, and I am not playing here. Make sure that I get to
I'm
it.
Not
Hold
playing.
On. I'm playing with you because you will think that I'm making this up. The last declaration is. I got to go back to where I can see it all. Starting over and over and over and over and over and over is professional. No, it's not. What I find hilarious about this is the same old world is going to pass you by. If you buy into this, well, you sit there and enjoy watching the backs and asses of other people around you as they pass you by.
Yeah.
The old-fashioned way, showing up 5 minutes early.
So I can't take my lunch break now, Eric?
Can. See, as a corporation, I'm a coward, and I'm going to tell you I'm not going to hold it against you.
Okay.
But I'm going to the person who... Yeah, yeah. Keep eating. That's professional. Calling in because your cat seems nervous is professional. No, it's not. You know, one thing about... If you think about this... So we know about children. I know enough about child psychology to know that up until about 4 or 5, children believe the world revolves around them. So the maturation process is when you start to figure out that, no, I'm not the center of the universe, and I'm going to have to learn to bend toward, perhaps compromise, to get the things that I want. That's called maturing. The idea that the workplace needs to bend to every whim of yours means you have chopped out that little part called maturing. You're wrong. They're lying to you.
Wait, so if Tim were to show up in your office and he wanted a raise, he can't just like scream on the ground and flail and everything like that?
Yeah, like he doesn't want to be in a store.
I want it. Yeah.
Hey, that's professional. People ask me why I don't vote, why I don't care, why I don't watch these stupid 24-hour news networks, why I'm not on social media. Because this is the moronic nonsense that people are being fed. And here's the thing. Again, I want to repeat. It's not true. LinkedIn and a research can't. You will be tolerated now. But have fun watching people pass you by the old-fashioned way. I don't want you working for me unless you know how to set your problems aside for 8 hours a day and focus on my workplace. Now, did something truly tragic in your life happen? Take some time off. Here's the deal. That's rare, whether you like it or not. It's just such... And when you see that Indeed is doing it and LinkedIn, somehow there's a, hey, we're having a competition to tell people that the bigger loser you are, that means you're more of a professional. That's just insane to me.
Well, my iguana died. It's a really big deal.
Leave psychobabble in that part of Barnes & Noble, if they're still around. Yeah. We can wander around in there. Starting over and over and over and over and over and over is a problem. It does not make you a professional. Hey, not being able to decide is professional. No, it's not. So if you're 20 or something like that, here I am, intervention, if you're still savable. That's not true. They're lying to you. It is a different time. Corporations have spineless cowards. We'll put up with this nonsense. But you are not going to be elevated up the rung of hierarchy and pay. Professional is, I know how to live my life in such a way that even though I've got a lot of problems going on right now, for 8 hours, these people at work, they're not going to know about it. I'm just going to do the best I can to help them succeed.
Sounds like you need to be re-educated in the workforce.
Yeah. Sounds like it. It reminds me, remember I told you like in the 90s, Silicon Valley started this kind of stuff? Inc. magazine, I saw a cover, a guy who's like, had a parrot on his shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
He's bringing his parrot to work, whether you like it or not. Yeah, it turns out that wasn't so true. All right, I didn't mean to end with a negative rant. I think it's a positive thing. If you're 20 or 21 or 22 and you're open to it, I just saved you. Also, a lot of dummies are going to believe this. So if you just focus on what you want, it'll be easy to advance in the future. So that's a positive message at the end of this Thursday edition of the Von Hessler Doctrine. Thanks for listening to the Von Hessler Doctrine podcast. Remember, you can hear the show every weekday from 9 to noon right here on 95.5 WSB, Atlanta's news and talk.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.